Hey guys, my name is Benjamin, and thank you for listening to Slade Sessions, a curated conversation podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Slade Sessions, a curated podcast. Today we're going to do an episode about a horror movie review. And previously I had a podcast, like I've always stated, called The Midnight Speakeasy. So all the episodes, since this is the first one, on the title card, you'll see it called The Midnight Speakeasy Special. And we'll talk about a movie here that is a Jason Blum production. I kind of went on a kick of Jason Blum or Blumhouse Productions. They've been known to have some major blockbusters, but they're known for having kind of like B-roll movies, B-movies that aren't as popular, but they will scare the hell out of you. So the first movie I'm going to talk about, which is a Blumhouse production, is Hush. It's a 2016 movie. It is directed by Mike Flanagan, produced by Jason Blum and Trevor Macy, written by Kate Siegel, who also stars in the movie, and Mike Flanagan. It stars John Gallagher Jr., Michael Trucco, and Kate Siegel. It was distributed by Netflix, so it is a Netflix movie, and it premiered at South by Southwest in March of 2016. So when we do horror movie reviews, there will be a rating that I give it based on my experience of horror movies, which I've been watching since about 8 years old. Probably earlier than that. I saw Rocky Horror Picture Show when I was about 7 or 8. And that hands down is one of my favorite movies, if not my favorite movie. So, the interesting thing about this movie, which I haven't seen in horror movies before, is the fact that it is a horror movie, that takes place in kind of one plot instead of it kind of going around to different parts of like a town or, you know, different storylines. It's just kind of one mainstream storyline. And the main character is deaf. She's deaf and mute, so she can't hear anything that's around her. Her house is set up in a way, like her fire alarm, which kind of plays a big part of the end result of the movie. It is sent to a frequency where she can feel the vibrations. But for those who hear, who have the ability to hear, it is just... it kills your ears. It's just so loud. But that's the frequency that, you know, she needs it to be. So that's a little spoiler alert. Another interesting thing about this movie is that it's being remade in Tamil, Indian, and Hindi. So this movie is one of the first movies that I've seen actually being remade, I believe with the same storyline. I haven't seen them, but it is pretty much the same story, same movie, same scenario, just in two different areas of the country. And I thought that was really interesting. So for those of you who have never seen Hush before, Hush is a movie about a girl, like I said, who is deaf and mute. And she is a writer. She's had a book out already that was published. And she's working on her next book. But she's had writer block. And she goes out to... her house in the country, which is kind of like in the sticks. It's not really in a community. It's kind of out there. And she has a neighbor. Her neighbor is her friend. I don't know if she lives in the house full time. It didn't really say, or if like it's a vacation house per se. But she's out there, and I'm assuming she was in a bad relationship, because at some point in the movie she kind of tries to contact her ex-boyfriend. But I think in the long run it didn't really have much of a point to the plot. I think it was just kind of in there. And what ends up happening is that this guy, comes into, I think it's the ex-boyfriend, of the girl next door. But he's a murderer. He's a killer, serial killer. And he has this, mask on, and he comes to the woods. He comes to, kill the neighbor, and the neighbor, spoiler alert, does die. And this whole time, the main character has no idea what's going on because she can't hear. So it was just really interesting to see a horror movie in the sense that one of your senses, which is so important in horror movies, hearing, just is non-existent. So the way it was filmed, I thought was really interesting. I think the storyline was really good for it having to be a Jason Blum film, or a Blum production, I should say. Blumhouse production. Because most of the, I've seen some of the movies, like Into the Dark, which is on Hulu, which is an anthology series broken up into, like, long-form episodes, but it's like a movie. They release one seasonally, so it's like every month they come up with a new one. They have one out now called School Spirit, which is back to school. You know, that's why they released it. Some of them are, like, really bad. You know, some of them are not good at all, but some of them are just very well done. And this one, I have to say, which is not an Into the Dark production, but it is a Blumhouse production, is well done. So, on that note, Rotten Tomatoes score gave it a 93, and audience average on Rotten Tomatoes gave it 73%. My rating, I would recommend it to watch if you're into that. I give it an 80%. I'm not going to give it a full 100%, only because the character, just telling the story of the character, was there for me. But in terms of, like, some of the acting in terms of who the killer is, it just, it wasn't there for me. I didn't think it was very good. I thought it was, like, very, you know, they planned it out, you know, and they obviously, you know, rehearsed it, but it just wasn't there for me. I think, you know, the lady who, Kate Siegel, who played, you know, the main character, did a better job, and I think it was because it is her story. She wrote it, so she kind of knows how to play the character very well. So Kate Siegel, who is the main character, it's interesting because she has been in other horror movies before. She played Marisol Chavez in Oculus. She was in Ouija, Origins of Evil, as Jenny Browning, and as Sally in Gerald's Game, which is also on Netflix, which maybe I'll review Gerald's Game, because that was another one of those movies that kind of messes with your senses, and I thought it was very well done. More recently on Netflix, she was in The Haunting of Hill House as Theodore Crane. And where I am, the town I'm in, is next to the town where they filmed the funeral parlor scenes for The Haunting of Hill House. And that's pretty cool because it just kind of brings me closer to that, you know, experience there with that show. Another well-done show slash movie. Fantastic. She also, her husband is Mike Flanagan, who she did write Hush with, and he also directed the movie Hush. So I think that's interesting because her and Mike Flanagan, husband-wife duo team, they co-wrote Ouija, Origin of Evil, and Gerald's Game together. So for me, that's pretty cool. So going into her husband, Mike Flanagan, from my experience of the information that I got, it seems to be he's a powerhouse director in terms of, like, my personal favorites that are directed by Mike. Oculus, Before I Wake, Gerald's Game, Hill House, to name a few. I love his work. It's not your average, you know, take on horror movies and the way he directs it. I think average horror movies, he kind of goes about it with a little bit of an edge. It's filmed much differently within the genre. I mean, when you think about it, Hill House in itself, which is about ghosts and spirits and having a more deeper connection to it. Yeah, I get it. You know, some horror movies have that sort of connection, but the way he does it really kind of pulls at the heartstrings in terms of, like, yeah, you're watching a really, you know, scary movie, but at the same time, you kind of feel for all of the characters that he kind of, you know, that are in the movie that he's directing. Hill House, you feel for the people, you know, who live in that house and learn about the history, and you kind of connect with it, like, wow, there's a lot of history there, and you can relate to it. Same thing with Hush. You know, you end up feeling for Kate Siegel's character. It's one of those things where you put yourself in her shoes and you realize, like, if you were in that situation, which is a terrifying situation, and I hope nobody ever gets into that situation, what would you do? And I think Kate Siegel kind of speaks that for everybody who's in that realm of thinking process of what you would do if you were deaf and mute and there was someone trying to kill you. You would fight back as best as you could and what God has given you to do. You know, his characters, you know, Mike Flanagan, when he films his movies, he's not about jump scares. You know, he's not about, you know, trying to get the best of you, you know, at the edge of your seat. It's not one of those things where it's like, oh my gosh, every 5 minutes of the movie, I'm just peeing my pants because I'm so damn scared. He doesn't care about the jump scares. He cares about his characters building relationships with the audience. You know, it's one of those things, like I said, you feel for them. So on that part, you know, I think that's really cool because Mike Flanagan and Kate Siegel in Hush. There you go. I mean, it's a great movie. The other actor in it is John Gallagher Jr. He's from Newsroom as Jim Harper and more recently as Oliver Kittredge. He comes from a theater background. His character in Hush is, I would say, complex in the sense that he wanted to understand the main character's struggle, being that she's deaf and mute, and was so fascinated in the sense that she is missing one of those senses, and as his character being a killer, or a slasher, or whatever you want to call it, he really wanted to, like, push the boundaries of how far he could go to torture her into the point of killing her, or at least trying to break her down. To me, that was just really interesting to see a character not just do it, to do it because that's what he's supposed to do, but do it for the thrill of the fact that, like, yes, he's killing, but also do it for the thrill of a new way of killing. As crazy and twisted as that sounds, I just found that to be really interesting. That he's sitting there thinking about all these different ways his original plan kind of falls on the back burner, and now he's having to come up with a new plan because she's deaf, and it challenges him to come up with a new way of trying to kill her. It sounds crazy, but I find that very interesting. Yeah, like I said, I mean, I highly recommend it. It's one of the first movies that I've seen consisting of a deaf and mute person as the main character. And just kind of leaving you trying to figure out how the movie is going to play out. You know, it's not your typical slasher movie per se. And it's not your typical Blumhouse production film. I would say it is very Mike Flanagan. If you are familiar with his work, it's just kind of shot the way he shoots the movies and, kind of leaves you wanting, you know, for me being a horror movie buff, seeing like the killing scenes, like, you know, Jason or Freddy Krueger, the classic ones, it just kind of goes on and on, like, oh, there's a jump scare, and then he's there, and then he's going to cut you up, and then he kills you, and then on to the next one. This one's like, he consistently tries to push the boundaries on how he's going to get into the house, you know, how he's what he's going to use to kill her when he loses all his weapons, what is he going to do next. So for me, it kind of, like, wanted me to, like, explore more how he's going to kill Kate Siegel and her character, because it was like, here's a movie for the first time that they're actually pushing the boundaries of how that's going to get done. So I would have liked to see a little bit more creativity in how that was done. Not as crazy as like Saw, where it's like you're being tossed into a pit of dirty, rusty needles, which just kind of makes me cringe a little bit. Only because I don't like needles. But seeing that scene was just like, oh, like that's crazy. Who thinks of that? So with this movie, I kind of would have liked to see a little bit more of, you know, creativity in creating, you know, different killing scenarios, or at least like, you know, there's those scenes where, you know, oh, they finally got to the main character and they cut off their fingers or something like that, but they got away and now they got to go get him again. Kind of like a cat chasing a mouse sort of thing. So a little bit more variety there. There wasn't much for me to say negative, besides, I don't think that's negative, but I don't think there was much else for me to say besides the fact that, you know, maybe, like, what kills me the most, and me and my wife talk about it sometimes, is, like, at the end of a movie, and then it just, like, it shows, like, oh, they were rescued by the police, and then the credits start to roll. But what happened after that? Like, what happened, like, a week after that, or a few months after that? Like, what the hell? Like, why can't we see more? You know, why can't we? But that's also what I kind of love about it, is that it played out this story, and then it just cut it off. So, I highly recommend this movie. I definitely think it's one that you should check out. It is on Netflix. For a long time, I just didn't want to watch it because the artwork, the cover artwork, just doesn't seem appealing to me. It's just a guy in a mask standing behind a lady at a computer. You don't know what that means until you actually read the description. You know, like I said, I love horror movies. So hopefully, you know, in the next episodes, I can kind of come up with a system of, you know, talking about movies differently. Horror movies is something that has been also a part of my life for a long time. I love horror movies. I love the genre of, like, Tales from the Crypt, hands down, is, like, my favorite horror, you know, TV show ever. I remember being, like, maybe 13, 12 or 13, and they were still doing reruns on HBO, and it was rare to come by at that time, and I think they also did them on TNT around Halloween, or TBS, one of the two, or three. And I just remember watching it and hearing John Cassier, you know, do The Crypt Keeper. And there's just something about that that it's just so funny to me. It's just his little puns that he would do. And the storylines were, you know, very comic booky in the sense that it is a comic book. It's an original EC comic. And Tales from the Crypt, definitely something I have all the seasons. So I'll probably either do like a whole season, you know, a season of a season. Or maybe I'll just break it down into episodes. I don't know yet. I hope there are people out there who, you know, maybe are big fans like that. And maybe want to join the show. You know, we can interview you. That would be pretty cool. Again, I'm about building community. I think it's a lot of fun to talk about horror. I really kind of want to grow the podcast and kind of have it really emulate everything that I do. So hopefully I can go to, like, some horror conventions and Halloween conventions. I know there's, like, anime conventions, but there's still people there that are, like, in the horror field. Horror anime is not something I've gotten into. A lot of people say it's pretty cool, so maybe I'll check that out and review it. But, yeah, I'll recommend some movies. I haven't seen that movie Crawl. Crawl came out, like, a few weeks ago. A lot of people have been reviewing it and actually saying it's pretty good, so I don't really know much about it. I haven't seen it. So, yeah, I know they announced two Halloween movies. Which I'm pretty excited about. I just watched the new one. I'll review that one. And my original blog post for the Midnight Speakeasy when I had a blog, I think my first post was on Halloween, about Halloween. And from my previous episode on this podcast, I talked about, you know, briefly what my podcast was about, the horror review one. And pretty much I spoke about, you know, the Halloween one was talking about when the movie released in real time, like actually in theaters, and then when the movie took place, and talking about historical events that were going on, and like only thinking about, you know, the families and everything like that, the town that it took place in, and what that world was like. And could you imagine, like, a serial killer named Michael Myers on the loose? And, you know, it was post-JFK, you know, world. So it was like, it was just really interesting. So I think I still have it up. If not, I might rebroadcast it. Or maybe I'll just read it to you guys in an episode. But that was called The Midnight Speakeasy. I think it was on WordPress. You could check that out if you want. I'm a huge Evil Dead fan. Bruce Campbell, who is now hosting Ripley's Believe It or Not on Travel Channel, which to me is like, I love Ripley's Believe It or Not. And Bruce Campbell all in one. It's just like, I'm in heaven with that. So yeah, so for sure, I'll definitely put another episode up. So this is the first one in many. So thank you guys for joining me, and I'll see you on the next one. Thank you so much, guys, for listening in on the podcast. I'm thinking about starting a Patreon account. If you guys want to support, or, you know, I'm not asking, pleading, or begging for you to financially support the podcast. I kind of can do that on my own. But if you do want to give a little something, 50 cents, a dollar, a quarter, whatever you have or feel like giving, message me and let me know. Maybe there might be an outpouring of people who want to do it, and maybe not. And that's fine too. But if you want to support the podcast, maybe I'll start a Patreon account. I appreciate you guys listening, taking the time out to let me fill your ears with hopefully some sense. I don't know. Maybe not sense. I probably shouldn't say it like that. But some information, some stories. check me out on social media, follow us, and stay tuned for the news. Thanks, guys. I'll see you on the next one.